John chapter 3. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." "How can a man be born when he's old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and do you not understand these things? I tell you the truth. We speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. But still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him."
The second reading is taken from John chapter 14, verses 5 to 14. Jesus, the way to the Father. Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be good enough for us." Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." This is the word of the Lord.
Anyway, thanks so much for allowing me to speak to you again. It's always a joy. I hope it's a joy for you as well. thanks for the readings. Yes, Nicodemus, I don't know how you spell his name, but or how you pronounce his name. But yes, he was searching for God and asking Jesus all the right questions, and getting some really weird answers, but there you go. And then obviously the second one is really Jesus really showing his disciples that he is God, he is like the Father. So that's amazing, isn't it, when you read verses like that. So today, Trinity Sunday, Now I know why preachers find this a difficult Sunday to preach on. I mean, Ian's already sort of gone through most of it. But there's a lot more to discover, I know. Yes, 3 and 1, they don't really go, do they? One's into three do, but that's quite simplistic, isn't it, really? But I'm not very good at maths, but there you go. So let's ask a really fundamental question. Who is God? That's a really good question. Theologians down through the ages have tried to answer this. What is he like? You know, omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscience, all those omnis. I don't know. These are the only long words I'm going to use, Ian, because he did prompt me not to use too many long words. In fact, I don't do long words, really, so there you go. But yeah, all those words, you know, being present, all powerful, all knowledgeable. Yes, it all seems to be rather strange, doesn't it? So it just reminded me that way back in the 70s, I think it might be in the 80s, there was the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Do you remember that? And there was an answer to the ultimate question of life, the universe and everything. And there was a computer that went through 7.5 million years trying to find the answer. And the answer was 42. Well, I don't know whether that's true or not. I'm sure it isn't. But, you know, what is the answer? You know, who is God? Now, I have, I hope, a good idea of who God is and what he is like, as I've been a Christian for a long time now. So I should know him a little bit. But I wonder if it's the same God that I believe in. Is it the same God that you believe in? Well, that's a good question, isn't it? Because, I don't know, our thinking, you know, it may be slightly different. You know, I can't know it all. And I have to say that neither can you, as God is somewhat unfathomable. So let's hope our understanding of God is at least similar. I'm sure it is. But let's see how we get on with this. You know, someone might have a very different view of yours, by the way. You know, John Pitts is having a bit of, he's finding out about this once he's gone on this Christian studies course he's on, that people don't have the same view as us. So what do we do about that? Do we stone the bloke or the fella, cast him aside for gnashing of teeth, or do we learn and teach each other how wonderful God is? I think probably the last thing on that list was the right thing. You know, if you are a new Christian, you don't even know God at all. Even trying to understand Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, is way out there. So you start with no knowledge at all, then go to some knowledge, and then on to maybe more and more and more, till you're as old as me. And I have to say that I'm still learning new things about God as well. So just a snippet to start you thinking. Learning is good, but experience is better. So where do we turn to find out who God is? What is he really like? So I suppose the first place of call is the Bible tells us so. I would sing that, but I won't. I'm going to read through some snippets of verses from the Bible that reveal God to us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, I really want you to really just listen, not listen just to the words, but listen to God, listen to the Holy Spirit as we read these words to you. May the words impact us. Lord, help us. So God the Father, God is Spirit, God is love, God is the beginning and the end, God is just and faithful, God is good, he is the I Am, God is the God of the impossible, God never lies, God is the Creator, God does not change his mind, well, I'm still working on that one, God is our Father. He is our helper and strengthener. God is the Word. God is a sacrificing God. He gave us his Son and his Holy Spirit. God give us eternal life. God is merciful. He is a saving God. He sings over us. He gives us good gifts. He is our light. God is unique, the only God. He is everlasting. He does not faint nor grow weary. God is great. God forgives our sins. He is a God of grace. He is our rock. Wow. Much, 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 much more. Oh, by the way, he repays our debts. And there's so much more that we could say. God, the Son. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He died for us. The fullness of the deity dwells bodily in Jesus. There is one God, one mediator, Jesus. Whoever sees Jesus sees the Father. The Word, Jesus, became flesh and dwelt amongst us, full of grace and truth. For us, a child is born. He was made sin for us. He has authority in heaven and on earth. He called himself equal with God. I and the Father are one. He is our healer. He weeps. Amazing, isn't it? Jesus, God the Son. And then God the Holy Spirit. We see his fruits, the fruits of the Spirit in us, love, joy, peace. He is our helper, our comforter. He teaches us. He points us to Jesus. He intercedes for us. He dwells in us. Woo-hoo. He dwells in us. He is wisdom and understanding. He is the power of God. He is the Spirit of truth. He brings us freedom. He prays with us and for us with groans that we do not understand. He gives us tongues to communicate with God. He seals in us the promise of our salvation. He wants to fill us with himself. He witnesses to us. He leads us. He gives us a voice. He was at the creation. He wants to be poured out on us. He saves us. He tells us that we are his children, the children of God the Father. He gives us life. He is our guarantee. Oh, I don't know. Let's just rest for a minute. Close your eyes. Take a deep breath. Which words connected you with you this morning? Maybe at the end we can share what we received from God this morning. It's always good to share. So let's wait for a minute. Just think of those words that were said. So Trinity. This word is not mentioned in the Bible, but we have just really heard, haven't we? We've seen that there are three distinct persons of the Godhead in our Bibles. So our understanding of who God is becoming alive in each one of us as we read the truths from the Bible, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You know, the commission in Matthew, it says, go therefore, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The three in one God. So what can we say about God? Perhaps we do know God in the same way after all. Father, Abba, everlasting Father. Son, meaning that we are his brothers and sisters, God with us. Holy Spirit, the indweller, the in-between God that Ian talked about last week, God in us, one God, but three distinct persons. So we somehow need to keep this balance in our minds, don't we? In our thoughts and in the way that we behave. One person of the Godhead is no greater than the other, and we somehow we have been brought into the family of God, not just to be saved, but to have a role to play in this great love between the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We are somehow caught up in this. Love, love, love. You know, it's like a dance, giving and taking, loving and gracious, making a way, doing what the other wishes, helping and enjoying their presence. So love. So let's think about some application. Some questions. How does the God that we know in our heads individually affect our lives? Good question. And another one, what is our experience of God? And another one, do we know God, the real and true God? You know, the God revealed to us in Scripture is immense, powerful, creative, beautiful. But the God revealed to us in Scripture is also our Father, our brother, and God in us. So really the call from the pages of Scripture is that God is calling us into a relationship with him. Not as a chosen nation, not under the old Mosaic laws, but as a new creation. As we read in the story about Nicodemus, that we need to be a born again creation, born again by the Holy Spirit, now under the grace of God, revealed to us by Jesus and the Holy Spirit. By knowing and experiencing that Jesus died for you on the cross, or by knowing and experiencing the deposit of the Holy Spirit in each one of us, who is our guarantee of eternal life. So really, we need to experience God. Knowledge is fine. You know, I read a lot of books, well, sometimes, but that is not enough. Knowing something doesn't mean we love it as well. You know, what sort of relationship would it be if I just read the encyclopedia of my beloved one, or is it Wikipedia these days? It might be, but rather than getting up close and personal with them. So what God do we believe in? Truth is banded about these days. There's all this false news stuff. And people are these days, especially because of the pandemic, I believe, they are asking this question, what is the truth? Maybe a question for another day, I think. But if you're thinking it's not true, as a plumb line is true, then the God we believe in might well be something somewhat different to the true, righteous and loving God. Could he still be that grumpy old man, that bearded old man that sits on a distant cloud, far, far away, looking down at you and disapproving of all that you do, saying that you are no good and you'll amount to nothing? Or perhaps it is a God who asks everything from you but doesn't give anything back. Or as much as you try, you can't get him to love you. Or a mixture of the whole lot. Heaven forbid, as these ways of thinking are not true. So we do need our thinking changed, and also our experiences can hold us back. So this is a journey, I believe. We are all on a journey, as Ian was saying earlier. Paul calls it a race to be won, to get to the finishing line, to persevere and not give up. One where we start with no knowledge of God, except a small, minuscule faith like a mustard seed. It's just enough for you to believe that Jesus died for you. So that's the first steps in the journey. The journey, I believe, will never end until we see our Father face to face. But we do need to align our thinking with Scripture. That's important. But we also need to align ourselves with the revelation of Jesus and the Father from the Holy Spirit. And also by knowing the love of the Father to each one of us. This only really comes down to quality time, or in my case, snatch time, spent with him. You know, we get to know his likes and dislikes. And as we get to know God in a close and intimate way, we find out that we don't want to hurt him. You know, relationship is key. So get to know God. Knowledge is good, but relationship and knowledge is far, far better, and experience even more so. Knowing your Bible, yes. Prayer, yes. Listening to the Holy Spirit, yes. Experiencing his love, power, and strength in our lives, yes. You know, I took my first step when I was 11. I did all the right things that I had learned. I prayed to God. I worked sometimes quite hard for God. I knew a lot about God after time. I was even a Sunday school teacher and youth worker, for heaven's sake. But did I have a real deep relationship with God? I got in a rut. I could not see the way ahead. I knew God helped me in my work and family life. I had experienced that, but was it enough? I knew I had to give him my all, everything. The teaching I had had up to that time was a revelation to me, and I knew that Jesus was my saviour, and I was told to keep this in the forefront of my mind, saved by the grace of God. But where was the passion? Where was the relationship with God that I so wanted? And so 30 years later, from my first step, I encountered God in a new and dynamic way. I'd see my Christian friends change when they started to encounter God in a deeper way, and I wanted that so much. God, the Holy Spirit, and he overwhelmed me, and it changed my life. It supercharged my life. You know, I started to listen to God, and I could hear his voice. I prayed for people, and most, I'm sure, were blessed, and even some were healed. I started to pray for people directly and prophesy over people and see things change in people's lives. So I started to know God in a deeper way. You know, I spoke to him and he spoke to me. So I know a bit about God, and this is the joy that is before us. Knowing God at a deeper level. Never think that you've got there, for there is always more. So can I ask some questions? Where are you on the journey? Perhaps you're at the start. God bless you. Keep on going for it. Grow both in the knowledge of God, but also finding out how much he loves you. Ask for more of the Holy Spirit. Have you drifted away? Have you lost your way? God is calling you back this morning. Can you hear it? He has missed you. He has been looking out for you. He loves you. He wants to throw a party for you when you come back. Whatever you have done, he will welcome you back. Can you hear him calling you? Perhaps you think you have arrived and you know it all. Everyone loves a know-it-all, not. The Jews, especially people like the Pharisees, they had a set of rules and they had to keep them. They knew how to do it, but they got it all wrong. They thought they knew it all, but in fact, they knew nothing. Jesus turned up and threw all of their thinking into turmoil. You had to be born again to be free from sin and not follow the law. Wow. Proverbs 28 says, if you think you know it all, you're a fool for sure. I like that one. Perhaps your heart is hardened to the Holy Spirit living within you. Don't do it. It's a dangerous place to be in. I hear the Lord calling you even now to come back to him. Open your heart to him, and he will make it a heart of flesh and not one of stone. Come back to the people of God, even the weird and wacky ones like me, to be encouraged. We are all on the same journey, and we can and we should help each other on the way. Get some prayer support. Get in touch with Christian friends who will come alongside you, because we are all in it together. And perhaps you haven't even started on the journey. Start today. Perhaps talk to me afterwards or speak with Ian. You need to start. Amen.